knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Side point. We'll get to my bright spot in a moment.
Okay.
But I need to bring this up because I feel real dumb about this.
Are we getting into the big... never mind.
What?
The Big Bend situation.
No. Although,
oh.
2 points.
Yeah, okay.
First thing, I said sneeze remix during the theme song of our last episode because just before that, you sneezed.
Right.
It was huge. And
but
I could
it
hear
didn't,
it.
It didn't register.
I could hear it in my
audio.
Headphones. And then I was listening back and I'm like, I sound like a lunatic.
I was worried that was going to be the case.
And it was. It was the case, and I appreciate I did not get dragged for that, but it still I felt real dumb.
No, I
could swear it was in the headphones.
No, I didn't hear it in my headphones. I knew when you did that, you were like, you totally thought it was in there.
I would have bet anything.
But here's what's fun about that.
Yeah.
You've once again revealed to all of our newer listeners, you know,
that we listen
to the theme song every single time.
Little less editing to do. Little shortcut.
I remember whenever, I think it was Marty who was guesting on him, back whenever I kept talking over the, whatever it was, the technocrat drops and stuff. He was like, oh, I didn't know you got, he was really doing that every time.
I'm doing that in post.
Literally every time, yep.
And then, okay, so the second point.
Yes.
We speculated that Alex was talking about us talking about him going to Big Ben.
Yes.
In London.
Right.
And they said, no, it's Big Bend, the national park.
Correct.
And I would refer them to our London episode where I made a joke about how Alex kept saying Big Bend, the national park, about Big Ben, the clock.
Yeah.
So, look, I understand he could have been talking about Big Bend. I don't believe he was. I think he was specifically talking about how fans mobbed him at Big Ben, which he pronounces Big Bend. Got a bunch of tweets about that.
I do love it whenever we get what we get massive reactions for corrections on. Very specific and very
Jumbo
strange.
Jumbawamba, fine. Yeah. I maligned them.
That's fine. It happened to
us. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah, we'll accept that.
Huge backlash for that.
Totally.
Big Bend. Quite a large backlash. Unnecessary.
Backlash to the backlash. That's us.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
So I have a bright spot.
Okay.
I mentioned on our last episode also that I had some thoughts about Italian food, but that would be for another day. That is today.
That day has come.
I've been really into the cacio e pepe pasta dish.
Sure.
Pecorino and pepper.
Okay.
Just black pepper, cheese. Very simple. Very simple dish.
Uh-huh. Wait, it's just black pepper and cheese?
I mean, it really depends on where you get it. If you get it from a place that's kind of not good, which I have done, it is basically just sort of spaghetti-ish noodles with Parmesan and pecorino and pepper.
Ooh.
And it's, you know, it's still fine.
Right.
But I don't have great taste.
Sure. Okay.
And so other times you get it as sort of like a little bit of a cheese sauce. A little like ricotta type sauce.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. So there's a little bit, ideally you have a little bit of a cheese sauce that is there with it, a little white sauce, and then the pecorino and the pepper.
Yeah.
That's good. I enjoy it. I've always been a red sauce, marinara type guy with my pastas. This is sort of a branching out for me. This is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a pasta guy.
No?
Nope. Don't like sauces, don't like cheeses, and I think noodles are difficult to eat.
They are, but that's... You don't like fun.
How is that? How is eating noodles fun?
Because you got to chase them down.
Well, I mean,
you spin a fork.
I like a good soba noodle, but I don't know.
Fucking hypocrite.
You're right.
You just don't like Italian noodles.
That's it. You're actually right. There's too much fucking butter. There's too much goddamn butter. Wow. Okay? That's what you want to hear?
It is. I want honesty. That's what I want. And now we've got it. You just don't like the Italians.
I like the sparse, direct, and purity of the flavor that the Japanese provide.
Okay. So you like a ramen?
Yes, I do. I do appreciate a good ramen.
All right. Yeah. Case closed. What's your bright spot?
There's a show. I saw a new show called Scavenger's Reign.
Okay.
And it is it's like a cartoon. It's like an animated show.
Wow. I was kind of hoping it was going to be a reality show on the History Channel where people scavenge things.
I know. But what is cool about it is that it is sci-fi, and it's the type of sci-fi where they let go of a lot of like soap opera kind of stuff, and they just really embrace like, okay, if we're on an alien planet, what kind of weird shit would be on that fucking planet, right?
Certainly wouldn't be bottle caps.
Nah, it's not. So it is literally like so many different opportunities for somebody's imagination of like what life cycles could exist and how they could interact with each other.
Like space archaeology.
Yeah, 100%. And then they put people in like there's pretty good stories and characters and all this stuff built up around it. But so much of the joy is like, you know, in the title, Scavenger's Reign, all of the things that they're dealing with are the life cycles of scavengers on this planet and how they're going about surviving. And it's so cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. And the best type of that, you know, is when you look at something and you go, oh, that's weird. And then it makes you look back at the Earth and go, oh, that would be equally weird from their point of view.
Can you believe they put butter on noodles?
Oh, those motherfuckers. I'm talking more about like, you know, how is it possible that something's life cycle is they inject their babies into your head, and then the baby involves your brain, and then the brain makes you go to this place, and then you poop, and then the baby starts all over again? It does to somebody. That's nuts, right?
Well, humans don't do that.
Not all of us.
I dare say most. I had a great idea for a TV show while you were talking. My show.
A lot of people have great ideas for other things as they wait for me to finish.
So it's my show where people are scavenging things.
Sure.
And so it's people, and like all the audio is the actual, like people like, oh, we found this this thing over here. But then you animate it. And then you can draw whatever you want there. Your imagination can run wild, but it's with the audio track of people actually scavenging things.
All right.
Going out and finding little knickknacks here and there.
Okay, so do you want to do it wherein you've got them actually, like the show is them going through all this stuff?
I'm thinking kind of
and
like,
then in post you draw in what they find.
I'm kind of thinking like a less annoying American Pickers.
Okay.
Have you seen that show?
I have seen that show, yes.
Yeah, kind of less annoying, less produced than that.
Okay.
And then it's animated, so you could just draw in whatever.
Sure. See, because now I'm thinking of a live action show where people go scavenge, but then when they find something, you like animate what it was that they could have found. See, and then they have to react based on that.
Wait.
I'm traveling through time in this scenario, I believe. I believe I am traveling through time.
So the people who are there pulling something out of the ground or whatever will have to hold it and then react to the thing that you animate later
on. Yes.
There's some problems with production.
People haven't thought about using time travel more banal ways.
Yeah, and they haven't thought of ways to like make TV production even more cumbersome.
we're gonna have to budget more for time travel now. Shit,
the Time Travelers Union is going to really take issue with this.
Well, they always have, honestly,
and always will. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
All right. That's never going to happen again.
Nope. We're going to be talking about November 9th, 2023.
Okay.
That is Thursday? Yeah.
Last week.
Yep. And that's because Jackson Hinkle came on. And
right.
I made a reference to that. And now we got to pay it off.
Right. So now I can finally figure out what a Jackson Hinkle is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say it's his real name. And it is unfortunate and fortunate in some ways because it is very memorable.
Sure.
But also Hinkle has too much like stink kind of, you know, it's really real schoolyard bully layup kind of thing.
I mean,
Tinkle, stinkle.
Here's the thing. I'm Ace Ventura's pet detective. Mm-hmm. I'll never get over Hinkle and Einhorn.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
See, that's the thing that I can't get out of my mind. It's not my fault.
Right.
I didn't make the movie.
No, it's definitely...
It's problematic in that now.
It's definitely Jim Carrey's fault.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, Jordan, we'll get down to business on this episode. Uh-huh. And I was actually going to include some of the Friday's episode, too, but I decided, I don't care.
Fair enough.
But before we do, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, the 20th is our wedding anniversary, and we've been together for 17 years. I just wanted you to say, I love you, Baith, and I'm so happy to be with you. Is this the same one?
No.
Okay, so these are separate.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the end of that, and yes, you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Fell apart at the end there.
Yeah. No, we're back on track.
But Baith, great. Happy anniversary to you and your partner. This, I thought, was the same one because it looked like it trailed off.
Right.
But also, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Jesse. I'm a first-time emailer. I'm a huge fan. I love your work. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
You know what? I don't think I can do this anymore. Fuck Alex Jones. I quit. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Kingsley Chomp. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And Nick from Connecticut is liberal. He's liberal. He's liberal. He rules. But you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. I really feel bad that I biffed that wedding anniversary one. Thankfully, it appears there's a second...
you got a second shot at it.
Date shout out here. So we have a technocrat in the mix. So thank you so much to Dear Sarah. We didn't mean to schedule our wedding on your 30th birthday. Please accept our apology in the form of a shout out. Sincerely, Annetta and Robert. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
See, that's a fun shout out there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But also, we got a lot going on here.
Sure.
We got a happy birthday message.
There is a lot. Yeah. You're knocking them all out in one go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
We have humble brag about getting married.
Totally.
So much.
Calling you out for being 30.
Right.
As opposed to being like, hey, happy birthday. No, specifically 30.
And making it sound like you are so mad that their wedding
totally
is on your birthday.
So much so that you have to reach out to and get an apology on the show.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe it.
This is deep.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
goes like, all the way to the top.
It does. So, Jordan, we start, and Alex is not just going to have Jackson Hinkle here on the show.
Okay.
He has some other guests.
All right.
And one of them is a real loser who may not be allowed to practice law anymore.
Mm.
All right. I spent a couple hours yesterday on some very disturbing phone calls with lawyers and others dealing with January 6th convictees in the kangaroo courts, namely my old friend Joe Big and others, Joe Biggs. They are torturing the living snot out of them in prison. They don't just have Owen in solitary confinement. They are torturing the hell out of them. And it's standard torture that they do to political prisoners. We're going to be joined by Joe Biggs's lawyer, Norm Pattis, and one of the leaders of one of the main activist groups has been in contact with all of the major people that were convicted in the kangaroo courts in D.C.,
Yeah, so we got Norm Pattis coming in to talk about how Joe Biggs is being tortured.
I would say this is the first time that I would legitimately be interested in talking to Norm Pattis.
No, you're not. We're not going to actually listen to much of this.
Well, for one reason, and it has nothing to do with what he's doing, and everything to do with the fact that I read that he went to a comedy fantasy camp.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I want to know more about that.
Adam Carolla's comedy fantasy camp.
Yeah, I mean, like...
The Ace Man!
What the fuck is going on here? How is that possible? What am I doing where I live in a world where...
How do you have the time right
like,
now?
I mean, yeah. I mean, not just that, but like last year, I'm watching fucking Norm Pattis look like an idiot. And then this year, I just find out he was hanging out with Alonzo Bowden. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Honestly, based on my assessment of his performance, he could use that boot camp.
Yeah, he really could.
I don't usually recommend comedy classes for people, but in this case... You need it, buddy.
Fucking, and he spent so much money on it. God, I hate this world.
Yeah,
I hate this world. He can throw away grand upon grand on a. Ugh.
And it's Adam Carolla.
Yeah! Everyone involved should be less successful.
Yeah.
Except for Alonzo. He's a cool dude.
He's gonna teach. He's gonna teach Norm Pattis how to do a lightning round with Ace Rockola. See if I can come up with any other.
Who else was that? I bet Leno was there. I'm sure Leno
was there. Yeah, I saw a picture.
See, I don't even need to guess anymore. Mm-hmm. Leno was there.
Yep. I'll come up with some more deep love line cuts by the end of this thing. I can't remember if Ace's. Oh no, that was on Love Line. Ace's Ranchero Accordion Countdown. That was always fun. Do you remember that?
Nope, don't remember that one.
So that was when they'd get really bored in the doing the show. The Anderson, I think the engineer, whoever was the engineer at the time, would start a Ranchero song, and they would before that they would make bets on how long it would take for the accordion to start. Which seemed hilarious at the time, and now looking back, it's a flat bit.
It's a little flat. Oh my God, I didn't even realize this. Mm. And I bet he didn't tell him. Can you imagine how much you would roast somebody who came to your comedy class if they had just lost $1.5 billion in a court case? Mm. They didn't even know.
They didn't?
I bet they didn't know. Leno never roasted Pattis.
I didn't read the entire article, but I read the little part about Norm, and part of it was a roast battle, like between the contestants or the people who were taking the class, and they were making fun of Norm for being the Proud Boys lawyer.
But were they making fun of him for being a loser?
Probably. I mean, it's a roast battle.
All right, fine. Fair enough.
I think if I were in roast battle and my opponent was Norm, I would just be, I quit.
Boy, life. Life won. Life beat you in roast battle.
I can't do this to you, my man. Fucking Adam Carolla has a comedy camp.
Oh, my God.
What fun.
Whatever.
So we're not going to listen to much of that interview. And part of the reason is because a fair amount of the stuff that he's talking about, I kind of believe is happening. I'm not sure if it's torture.
Okay.
It's stuff like... You know, they're being told that they're being transferred to another prison, and then they get out and out, and then they have to be transferred to another place. They're being handcuffed for long periods of time.
Sure.
Stuff that I kind of believe is probably happening.
Yeah.
But they think it's only happening to them.
Right.
And I find that to be a really annoying way of discussing the abuses of the prison system.
Yeah.
And I think that there is round criticism to be made of how prisoners are treated. And I do believe that even some January 6th people who are incarcerated probably are subject to unfair treatment within the prison system.
Yeah.
To pretend it's only them is a disservice to the real criticism that actual activists make, and I find it loathsome of them. So I'm not even going to engage with their pissant nonsense.
No, that's,
But there's another topic, and that is that there's a GOP debate. We talked about this a little bit on the last episode.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there was a GOP debate.
Vivek.
Yes, they debate each other.
He did his thing.
Okay.
And here Alex has a take.
Okay.
A Vivek take.
The debate had less than 1 million viewers. But on Steven Crowder's show, last night I was on, it had 2 million viewers at least. They're a joke. And Vivek, skip the break, literally nailed them when he said,
Vivek,
we shouldn't have NBC hosting a Republican debate. There's no Republicans watching NBC and MSNBC. We should have Joe Rogan and Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson hosting this. They're the populace. They're so popular. Why do we keep kissing the ass of the establishment? No one's watching us because we're idiots. To the system. We keep acting like it's still in power. It's a facade that blew over.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
What's stopping you?
I mean, yeah.
From having a debate on Rogan's show. I imagine Rogan doesn't want to.
They don't. I mean, I understand that.
It's a lot of pressure. I don't think Rogan wants that kind of heat.
the only reason that they're like the RNC debates is because the RNC like organizes right. them and the news.
I think a lot of candidates who want to be taken seriously probably wouldn't show up on a Rogan debate
yeah.
because there's a lot of stuff that Rogan's done and said in the past that they would not want to be associated with.
Sure.
You know, it's very easy to find the clips that Alex used to attack him back when they were having their little fight. The
not
ones
hard.
Where he went to a theater full of black people and said it was like Planet of the Apes.
Sure.
You know, that kind of stuff. Maybe
sure.
a serious candidate would not necessarily want to be associated with this and lend their credibility to it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, for now. For now, though, right? I mean, like, yeah. Alex is... there is a certain point that he's making that is correct, which is that if the debates that are put on by legacy media and gatekeeper people
yeah.
for the reason of let's not have a circus explode on us,
mm-hmm.
right? If those are getting a million views, that's not enough to compete with a debate on Rogan's show that gets 20 million. And eventually politicians are going to make the choice of, sure, there's respectability, and then there's getting 20 million more votes.
I don't disagree
yeah.
that calculus is probably in flux.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, on some level, Vake is kind of right. Like, he's not right about a lot of stuff, but he is right that, like, probably a Republican debate doesn't make sense to be happening on a mainstream media platform anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they
That's a really good point.
They are completely foreign to this. And I think he even made the point. It's like, would the Democrats have a debate hosted by Greg Gutfeld? I'm like, well, first of all, Greg Gutfeld's not the right choice to go with.
Yeah,
here.
That doesn't make
but
sense.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a Democratic national debate on Fox News hosted by Tucker or something like that. That wouldn't happen.
It did that in the past.
But it wasn't hosted by Tucker.
It wasn't hosted by Tucker, but there was a time.
Or Gutfeld.
I want to talk. I'm talking to our under 20s
mm-hmm.
right now. There was a time where people would just show up on all the networks.
Well, but that's not true.
And they'd be a dick to him,
well,
but you'd still show up.
Bernie went on Fox.
Sure.
You know, it had
sure.
a town hall kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
And that makes... that's a little different, I think, than having their, like, official debate.
Oh, no, I'm talking this, like, yeah, I'm space. Talking like 90s. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, like Bill 90s. Clinton showing up on MTV, saying
I mean,
boxers.
Oh, boy. When he played...
Boxers of briefs,
when
baby.
When he played the saxophone on Arsenio,
woo.
It doesn't get more going on Rogan than that.
Yeah, you know what? But there's a difference between a publicity appearance and, like, having your actual
debate.
Oh,
yeah, totally.
I know that I'm making that distinction a lot, but it is important, I think.
Sure. Also, Arsenio's fucking awesome and super huge at
also,
the time.
Also, do you want your debate to be moderated by someone who constantly is like, hey, Jamie, Google that? Do you want that? Do you
Maybe.
Want during the debate?
Honestly,
he's high out of his mind, wearing a weird costume, Duncan Trussell's over on the side.
What the people who are doing the debates now are doing
mm-hmm.
is at the very most or best a lateral move compared to that.
Yeah. Here's why I think it would actually work.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Vivek,
here's why what's happening now doesn't work, and here's why what might happen does.
Well, Vivek and, you know, presumably, you know, if Trump were at one of these debates,
sure,
they are hostile to
yeah.
the media,
yeah.
and therefore there's nothing that they're going to do that is even close to debate.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, they are obsequious when it comes to someone like Rogan, and people like Chris Christie are going to act the same no matter what. Because they're just there to debate, like, maybe, I don't know, is he selling a book?
You know, I think he's just there to have a good time, and he wants everybody to come out and really leave it all on the field, you know,
sure.
and just really play your best today, you know?
If nothing else, having, like, it be in a place where there's people who, like, the hostile folks suck up to the place.
Yeah.
It would diffuse a lot of the clear petulance and indignancy that you see out of people like Vivek.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like debates are a vestigial organ at this point. What
yep.
are we talking? We're not having a conversation.
No.
So
there was a time when it was much more difficult to get out the word on your positions.
Yeah,
you know, that was a useful thing then, and now it is not.
Yeah.
It is a shit show.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, like, people talk about the Lincoln-Douglas debates as being, like, about intellectualism, blah, 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 whatever. That's the same as a book tour, man. That is a show going on the road.
I would have gone
They both do 3 hours of shit talking, and then they go to their next city.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Alex is mopey.
Uh-huh.
He's a little mopey boy.
And so my greatest victory is you keep me on air. It's your victory. And the fact that we sustained through all these attacks to get to the point where we see the Great Awakening exploding right now. The problem is, it's like this passe thing, like, the war's over, though, Alex. You're not needed anymore. No, we're awake that we're in a war, and now when we speak out against lockdowns and tyranny, we get a response and we have some victory. But now we're in the fight. And this is the most important point of our entire operation. So I'm going to plug this right now. Let me get to the news. I thought about this last night, this morning, because it's a paradox. It's a paradox that I want to explain to people. For at least 4 or 5 years, we've been on the edge of not having enough money to operate. We've made every cut we can make. We can't cut anymore. People don't get raises around here for years, bonuses, nothing, but they stay here because they're dedicated and they care about freedom. I've sold almost everything I've got. I'm in the process of selling the last piece of property that's not my home. Won't even pay a third of what I need to get done. I'm not complaining. If God wants me out of the game and God doesn't touch your heart to support us, that's the way it is. But let me explain a paradox here. This building, this infrastructure, the crew, the brain trust we have here, if I shut this down and just say, well, we're essentially been shut down, I'm not quitting. You've quit on us, and I'm not mad at you. And people think, well, Jones is around forever. You know, he's fine. If I don't show you and shut it down, I won't get the funds. Now, I know what's going to happen. The minute we announce, oh, we're shutting down in 2 weeks, we'll suddenly have more money than we need. But I don't jerk people's chain.
He's been chain jerking forever.
I mean,
it's been constant chain jerking.
He
quits repeatedly.
I have 30 different memories right now of him going, you know what? I'm not even supposed to be here anymore. If you guys aren't going to pay for this, then fuck it. We're done.
Fuck
and then
it.
Leaving.
I'm leaving.
Storming.
Maybe I'll never come back.
I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
This is an emergency. I'm genuinely sad. This is the last time that we're ever going to be able to do this. If I don't get such and such amount of money by this, right? Yeah. I've heard this a million times.
His, like, family crest should have a chain being jerked on it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Also,
a chain being jerked while a boy cries wolf.
Yeah. There's also like a weird thing. Alex's mentality has always been that the globalists are so transparently evil and so obvious in their plans and all this that all you have to do is bring it out into the open and then the public will know and the battle will be won.
Right.
I guess that's not the case.
No. Well, you're awake that there is a war. There's
right.
still another awakening to be awoken upon.
Ah, shit.
It is almost as though it's never going to end because the end is not the means.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So this, what's going on right here, is Alex threatening the audience and preemptively blaming them for him going out of business. He knows 100% that this whole game is unsustainable and that it's just a matter of when, not if, InfoWars goes down. But he doesn't want his legacy to be the guy who built and then destroyed his own propaganda machine. He wants to retain his heroic status, and he's choosing to do that at the expense of his audience here. When this happens, just know it's your fault for not giving me enough money. You could have given me more money, and we'd still be on air. So this is really on you, actually. This is a directly abusive tactic that he's using to retain whatever self-image he has, his fragile ego. It's very sad. It's very sad.
It is sad. It is sad, especially because, I mean, there is an honorable way for him to go out, and it's in a giant explosion, right?
Well, I mean,
you know,
not
I mean,
literal.
Not literal.
Yeah,
you know what
to,
I mean.
He doesn't There's... have to fake his own death.
No,
there
no.
is there is the know when you've been beaten.
Totally.
And bow out. Stop with these childish games that are only hurting your own audience, honestly.
Yeah. And if you don't want to bow out humbly, bow out like a complete prick and make a huge show of it and fine.
Well, he's in the middle of that.
Bow out. No, he's in the middle of trying to squeeze every last fucking drop out of it.
It's a long bow.
Oh, it's not a bow. It's a theft.
It is.
Yeah.
But he's ready to fucking quit. He's gonna quit.
Quit!
But whatever you do, however you see fit, this will be a commitment. If I come in here in a month and I say, well, it looks like I'm not going to be able to continue on.
Again.
And there'll be an agreement with the court, and I'll say there's a 3-4 month wind down. We'll sell out of everything that's left.
He did that.
And suddenly
before,
there'll be all this support.
And that happened.
I'm not going to pull the plug, folks, and turn it back on. When I say, okay, we've run our course, I'm not going to, it's not a bluff. We will then
this
disconnect
time.
InfoWars.
And he bluffed.
We'll have 3-4 months to get a job. We'll sell out of everything we've got. And people will be like, no, we want to donate. We want to help. We want to. No, it's done. It's done. Because you can't, with a court, start the process and reverse it. So I'm ready to resign right now. I'm ready to do it. I'm sick of begging for money. I don't like doing it. And if God has decided, and I think that's what maybe is happening, that I'm not supposed to be here anymore, I think the crew's going to be fine as well. Mm. We're ready to pull the plug. And oh, we'll get out of prison, hopefully.
Why is God going to protect that crew?
Too, and he'll have a new show and all the rest of it.
No, he won't.
That's just how this is. So it's not George Soros is going to decide whether we stay on air. It's not Hillary Clinton. It's you.
It's you. Give me money.
I mean, wow, that's a rousing speech.
How much money would be required to even make a difference at this point?
Somewhere around $1.5 billion, I think.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous request to ask of his audience to bail him out of this.
Even then, he couldn't afford the taxes on $1.5 billion to pay off the $1.5 billion he owns.
I would assume not. And no. From some of the other talk he was saying, I don't know if he can even afford like attorneys and stuff to do an appeal.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, he might be even unable to make that leap.
We can only hope.
It's tough for me to hear this in November because I think that what might be going on is he's preparing to pretend to close again so he can sell out all his stock.
Sure.
So he doesn't have stuff lingering at the end of the year that gets taxed.
That would track.
I think that might be part of what's going on here because I've heard this before and it does seem to happen at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the fiscal quarter for this one? Those are words that I've learned from the TV.
Right. I don't know enough about that from a business perspective.
Right.
But I do know that at the end of the year, if you're holding a lot of inventory, there is
a tax. It's bad, yeah.
It's taxed.
Yeah.
And so you avoid that by moving it
by
all
not
out.
Not having that inventory.
And just saying I've seen this strategy before from Alex.
I like the idea of a Rorschach, but for like just cash, you know, like he's doing that whole like, oh, when I'm gone, the people will cry out for help. And I'll say, no, unless you spend $29.99 at the store like Rorschach.
But now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
When you say, I wish I could give you money later, I will say it is too late.
Yeah, like Rorschach before he puts the money. Yeah, people will cry out for this extra deal we've got going on in the... Yeah.
This is Rorschach selling you turmeric.
Oh,
it's the best turmeric.
It would be the best turmeric.
Although
it would keep moving around depending on how you look at it.
True.
Yeah.
There is obviously a little difference in how this feels just because of the circumstances and his bankruptcy and all this. But to me, he's the boy who cried, I quit.
Yeah.
And I'm done or whatever. I have become so jaded to his quitting that even when it, like, honestly, listen to this next clip. It feels like he's begging to be put out of his misery. And yet I still don't take this seriously.
Everybody's Alex Jones now. And Vivek Ramaswamy knocked it out of the park. You say, oh, is he good? Is he bad? The stuff he's doing is devastating them.
There's no such thing as good or bad.
Same thing with Joe Rogan. Same thing with Russell Brand. All of it. Tucker Carlson. Let's go on and on. So the good news is, maybe I'm like an old military officer that's already been in like 5 wars and I'm old now. Maybe it's time for me to take a back seat. I'm ready. I'm calm. I'm prepared. And I've done my mission. But if you decide to pull me out of the game, if you decide to take me and put me on the bench, then do it. And I'm done. It's that simple. DefendJones.com, JonesCrowder.com, InfoWarsStore.com.
Does it feel like he doesn't want you to give him money? Because it kind of does to me. It kind of feels like, if you'll just stop giving me money, I can end this.
You know, there's something... Here's... Do you remember Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai?
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker?
Sure. RZA.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
Love the movie. But the way that the mob and mafia is portrayed like that... That end of that dying ember of the mob of like, we're going through the motions because the way we want to die is in the act of living this life and not as like, oh, well, I'm in a retirement home, you know, like that kind of thing. And there's so much I hear of that in Alex of just like, this isn't how it's supposed to end, man.
Mm.
This is sad.
This is sad. And I think there's a bit of that. And then I think there's also a bit of it. I want this to somehow not be my fault.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is in your will to not give me money, I can go out of business and blame you.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, if you're in a life of crime, usually it's not because you want things to be blamed on you.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yep.
So they're going to have that interview with Norm Pattis.
Sure.
And then there's this also another guy who's along with him who is an expert in these things.
Another great comedian.
Now, his lawyer, Joe Biden's lawyer, can't even get in touch with him. He's also my lawyer. Famous constitutional lawyer, Norm Pattis. Trentus Evans heads up and is the founder and the head of Condemned USA, investigative documentarian, author, January 6th expert, speaker. Rock the red board, Condemned USA on Twitter, condemnedusa.com. He is one of the only people in his organization, because they've been there since day one, who's got enough sources and enough of the J6ers to at least be able to talk to a few of them to find out what's happening.
Oh, wow. So we got this guy, Trentus Evans, who sounds like a real professional documentarian type of guy. Definitely sounds like an unbiased person who just feels really passionate about this story of January 6 prisoners.
Well, he's an expert.
He is. And Alex conveniently leaves out one piece of Evans' resume.
He's a J6 protester? There we go.
On March, in March 2022, he pled guilty to charges stemming from his participation in the January 6th Capitol storming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
According to a tip the FBI received, Evans, quote, took shots of Fireball in Nancy Pelosi's office, which probably felt super cool at the time.
Listen, how long did he do?
He didn't do any time.
Worth it.
36 months probation.
I'll do that right now for 36. Deal. You sold me. 36 months probation.
I think he also had to pay like $5,000.
It's still worth it.
So he'd gotten to the office by climbing in a broken window. So you have to assume he was pretty aware that he wasn't supposed to be there. Also, I went and I found the picture of him climbing in through the broken window, and the door is open next to it.
See,
but there's too many people coming in through the door, so he comes through the window.
See, but here's the problem with the justice system doing that stuff. You have set the price for me breaking into Nancy Pelosi's window and fucking taking shots of Fireball. You've set the precedent.
I mean, it's hard
to
argue.
That's the cost. That's the cost of doing business there.
So one fun fact is that as a part of his agreement to have some of the charges dropped, Evans, quote, acknowledged that a riot occurred on January 6, 2021.
Well.
And he agreed to pay his part of restitution for the damages that were caused by the riot.
Okay.
Evans was sentenced to 36 months probation, which he is still under. So I certainly hope that it's not a violation of that probation to participate in flagrant propaganda meant to incite people around the very thing he pled guilty to. I'm sure he didn't specifically agree not to pretend that his insurrectionist buddies were being tortured in prison, but it does seem like this might run counter to the spirit of the agreements that he made.
Yeah, lawyers really got to think about that future coming up. You don't think you have to say to somebody, hey, also, don't start another riot out there, kid. You be good, you know?
As it stands, he has this Condemned USA website where he raises money for the J6 prisoners.
Oh, that's fine.
And stuff, and like for their commissary and what have you.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is like the most harmless way that people can be on that side.
Yeah.
Like, if you're raising money to try and like deny they did anything wrong or start another riot or something like that, then we've got some murky issues.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't think that people should be denied the right to access products while they're in prison.
Yeah, no,
so,
I mean,
whatever.
Listen.
If you want to waste your money giving it to fucking Joe Biggs and the Proud Boys, go for it.
Yeah, it's on you.
Yeah, you're deeper in the scam than I can help with.
Ain't that the truth.
So Alex has another guest, and it's like a self-help coach guy.
What?
Yeah.
No.
It's really weird. It's about like he's about like getting out of your victim mentality. And
so is Alex late awake at like 3 o'clock in the morning, really pissed off and a little sad and drunk, and saw this and was like, gotta get this guy on my show.
I would guess that this is a similar thing to that Jake Ducey get rich hypnotist guy.
Okay.
I imagine this is brokered programming.
Right, 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 right.
Because there is no energy.
That sounds right.
Here's just a little taste of their interaction.
So where would you say the Great Awakening is right now? Because I feel a lot of positive potential, but the enemy's striking back.
You know, how about my Great Awakening? My Great Awakening is right here, right now with you. This is wild, man. Yeah. Wild and fun, and it feels oddly normal. And then, you know, my Great Awakening is with my friends. You know, I surround myself with badasses, people that are using their words in powerful, cool, constructive ways. They're breathing well. That means they're listening. Okay. If someone's breathing in their chest, they're not listening. Okay, if someone breathes low and slow, they're listening. You get around a group of people that are listening well, that's fun. It creates breathing well. It creates that warm warmth. And then, and because it, it's, again, it's an inside-out job.
They're breathing and, in cocaine.
And yeah, so.
So, breathing, eh?
I like what's happening. I like what's happening. I didn't expect this whole thing to be easy, okay? And Lord knows what's going to happen for me coming on this show. You know what? Okay, I love what you said. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but if you want to fight, let's fight. We have yeah. Cup of Jones, man. I got a decent Alex Jones impersonation. My business wow. partner's got a really good one.
I don't know how this is all going to end.
Kimberly.
But if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. Ooh. I remember I've been friends with Mike Judge a long time, and he did some liners for us. And people thought, like, well, that's pretty close to Mike Judge, but all it's like Mike Judge. Mm-hmm. So that's my Alex Jones imitation.
You know that indie song? The indie song? I can sing the whole thing. I'm angry.
Yeah. I've had enough
of these people.
Bunch of Christian murderous
They're
scum.
They're a bunch of Christian murderous scum running giant death factories keeping babies alive.
Stop.
That goes on longer than you'd think.
It's already gone long enough.
Yep.
Sure too long.
Has. Yep.
Too long.
Singing that Bon Iver song that was such a dunk. Oof.
It's been a while since I've heard somebody literally left out to dry.
Like,
I felt Alex put like clothespins on his hands as he was holding on to those little lines, just going, no, you've got something to say, right? You're going to let me down off this. No, you're not going to leave, are you?
Keep swimming, buddy. You wanted this. You wanted this interview.
You paid for the privilege. You didn't pay for questions.
I'm not sure if that is exactly what the arrangement is, but boy, does it feel like it from the entire, like, look, it's all about the breath, man. You breathe. Breathe in your chest. It's no good.
Dude.
Deep, slow breaths. That's how you know the people are happy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That was somebody floundering at a youth pastor's convention.
Mm.
Not good.
Nope. But thankfully, business picks up.
Uh-huh.
Because then Jackson Hinkle comes around.
Right.
And
finally.
And so Alex introduces him. I think he calls him Jason once or twice.
I like it.
But that's fine.
That's good. Gamesmanship.
Right, I followed this guy's work for a while. Very interesting, very eclectic, and he gets millions of views every day on his videos on Twitter and more. At Jackson Hinkle, that's H-I-N-K-L-L-E.
One L.
And he's an American conservative, which is, we're going to talk about this, interesting definition, and Marxist-Leninist political commentator and social media influencer. He hosts the political show The Dive with Jackson Hinkle. He's known for his advocacy of Make America Great Again, communism.
This is Wikipedia
page.
He's
very articulate, very smart guy, has a huge effect. But people ask, is he trolling people, saying conservative, communist? There aren't many communists who'll come on the show.
And still not really having one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So he has MAGA communism is kind of Jackson's brand.
Fun.
And that term is nonsense, and I don't really care to get too bogged down in it because it's clear self-contradiction, and it's meant to be that.
Yeah.
It's a name for the brand that's meant to inflame, and it's meant to get people on either side on the defensive immediately. And then when you talk to Jackson and realize you agree on some stuff that he says, you find yourself thinking that maybe he's a middle ground. It's more or less a marketing gamble, and I don't really find it all that compelling.
Yeah.
When I say that it's a marketing gamble, I mean it in terms of what I described there, where Jackson's able to surprise both MAGA and communist folks by finding agreement with them on some things, but I also meant it in a trolling sense. Jackson gets so much mileage out of social media, and part of the reason is because people who are actually invested in either side fucking hate him. The left is deeply untrusting of his angle, and the right wing will not accept anything that views communism positively. Because he's aware of that, and he isn't an idiot, he uses the branding of MAGA communist to harvest outrage from both sides and use that to fuel his attention machine.
Yeah.
Jackson started using this branding a while back and started to make waves with it in 2022, along with his compatriot, another streamer guy named Haas. I've seen a few videos of Haas, and for the most part, it seems like he kind of just likes getting insanely angry and yelling at people,
sure,
which helps make sense of why Jackson is the face of this shit. and I have no idea where Haas is these days. Jackson is a cool, composed, media-ready young man, and he's not unlike Nick Fuentes, but just with less charisma.
Mm.
He has a lot less
charisma than Nick Fuentes?
Here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
Nick really seems like he's having fun.
Race to the bottom, isn't it?
Well, Nick seems like he's having fun.
Well, that is, there is, there
I hate
is
what
an
he's
element,
doing.
There is an element of...
I don't doubt the sincerity of him enjoying fucking with people and being a racist.
Right. Fuentes is a psychopath in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Whereas Jackson does not have that joie de vivre that you get from Nick.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part. I can't imagine doing this and not enjoying it. Mm. You know?
Well, maybe he just can't convey the enjoyment as well.
That's true. That's true.
So the basic essence of this MAGA communism brand is to use deeply right-wing social messaging intermixed with class analysis that's cribbed from the left. The way this tends to take its form is by romanticizing the idyllic image of the traditional family and the importance of your religious conviction, which satisfies the MAGA part of the equation. Simultaneously, you add in some economic platitudes about the elites that take on the appearance of being anti-capitalist in nature. There's a populism that runs through the economic ideology that's meant to appeal to folks on the socialist side, with themes like supporting workers' rights. As I was looking back on how all this got going, I found a 2022 article in Vice about Haas and the early MAGA communism business, and I thought that this was really informative. Quote, Haas is one of a number of self-proclaimed communists who are pushing the notion that anyone who cares about the working class should abandon the liberal, quote, culture war and ally with America's largest anti-establishment populist movement, MAGA, ultimately in the name of inciting a populist revolution. This is a brand based on a couple of core points. The first is that they do not actually care about socially liberal positions like access to reproductive health care, LGBTQ rights, civil rights, etc. It's not an abandoning of these positions. It's an effort to convince you to. The default position is capitulation to the social ideology of the MAGA set because they have the most political momentum, which will inevitably lead to the creation of a brutal, theocratic, xenophobic state presided over by a dictator, most likely Trump. And that's the social politics of his shit. The second core element of this brand is that it's based on expedience. The premise here is that the economic issues that they really care about are so much more important that they're willing to side with MAGA folks to make those things happen as if that was some kind of a difficult choice for them to make. They don't care about the liberal social issues to begin with, and the primary reason to side with the MAGA crowd is because that's the quickest viable road to power. It's a giant mass of people who've been shown to be very swayable, so if you're an opportunist, you could hardly think of a better audience. I find it hard to believe that based on these two core understandings, they really mean most of the stuff that they're saying. It feels like an exercise in self-promotion more than anything else, and it doesn't seem to have any viable political point to it outside of being a gateway to take people from the fringe left to the extreme right.
I guess.
It's the sort of jumping over the horseshoe thing.
Yeah.
From a standpoint of politics, I don't really care about the ideas being presented here because they're incoherent and intentionally so. The communism that's part of MAGA communism isn't really communism. It's the presentation of an anti-elitist hollow populism that's already existing in the MAGA world. What you're left with is just the extreme right wing presenting itself as it's some kind of groundbreaking compromise with the left.
Yeah.
That's more or less the appeal of the brand.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense.
Yeah. There's a real fracturing of the lesser of two evils contingent I've discovered.
Like, is that right?
It's gone across the whole political spectrum into all different kinds of weird places now.
Mm-hmm.
I find that so fascinating of like, hey, listen, the lesser of two evils is kill gay people, but equal economic rights for everybody.
Well,
all right. Well, the lesser of two evils is we protect gay people, but we align with these people and we give rich people more money. All right, well, the lesser of two evils is we do this thing, and it's just a series of compromises that people want to pretend aren't,
right,
you know, the system that we have now as it's functioning.
Well, that is a dynamic that exists. Now, sure. I want to be clear about this one, though. Mm-hmm. It's fake. Because,
oh, yeah, well, they all are.
Because the abandoning of left-liberal, quote-unquote, culture war issues,
sure,
is something they don't care about to begin with.
No, of course not.
That's not abandoning that to them.
No.
They're just saying, let's work with MAGA because we think we can get them to have a populist class analysis that we find appealing. And it's fucking stupid, too, because you're not going to get them to do that.
Yeah.
It's a failing game and essentially just is... kind of the only productive aspect that you can really see coming out of this is getting some people on the left to care less about social issues.
Got it.
That's kind,
did it.
That's kind of the only real...
Where's the mission accomplished banner right. for that, George W.?
Right.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Put it up there.
Bring people who are on the left closer to being susceptible to right-wing indoctrination.
Hmm.
Anyway, Alex asks him, what is this MAGA communism? Do you want to hear?
Nothing. It's nothing. Okay. That's what it is.
So I wanted to talk about you and then your view of the world right now, but maybe you can square this up for me. How do you have a Trumpist, make America great again, Marxist-Leninist view? Explain that to me.
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. You know, I've been a big fan of your show for years and years. And the MAGA movement, I think most people, there's a few people in the MAGA movement who are flirting with these globalist Nazi scum like Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. But I think most of the MAGA movement understands that the resources, the land, and the means of production of the United States of America should be in the hands of the MAGA working class, okay? There's no reason why we should allow our oil, our gas, our nuclear, our land to be controlled by a few of these rich scum like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and BlackRock and Vanguard, for example. And that's the whole idea is, you know, we need to fight for this. My ancestors sailed here on the Mayflower. They fought in the American Revolution. They fought in World War II against the Nazis. And they're rolling in their graves right now looking at what our country is doing, sending $260
billion. My family goes
to
other places
Ukrainian
and kills people.
Nazis, $14 billion to these anti-human Malthusian terrorists in Israel. We need to fight to get our country back or else we're going to have a feudal society for the end of time.
All right.
So you can see some pretty slick moves out there out of the box. First, you have the requisite flattery directed towards Alex, which is always a good way to answer a question InfoWars land.
Yep.
And then you have all the InfoWars buzzwords and villains getting name-checked.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Jackson is kind of right that most of the people in Alex's audience, if they were presented with communism under a different name, they would support some of those ideas.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, the MAGA working class should have the obviously... It would fall apart pretty quick.
Sure.
But he could get people to believe some communist ideas.
Sure.
Jackson is using that populist argument that Alex is going to have a tough time getting past just the beginning facade of it. Like, does Alex think that the noble MAGA working class shouldn't have all these benefits? Oh, so he must think Klaus Schwab deserves them all. There's so many games and traps that Alex is not even seeing set in front of him.
Yeah.
What Jackson isn't taking into account is that this isn't an either-or situation. Alex doesn't want people like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates oppressing the working class, but he's totally fine with bosses oppressing the working class. Alex loves appeals to populism that create the image of his grand fight against multinational corporations, but he's staunchly opposed to actually helping the workers of those companies. Consider this. He hates Amazon, but he doesn't support their workers unionizing.
Sure.
It's not an either or.
Yeah.
Jackson is fishing in a dry well here because his grifty brand of communism doesn't match with Alex's definition, and they're never going to be able to agree on the terms of this. Also, I really think that Jackson's putting on an accent. I've heard plenty of clips of him talking, and I do not...
Jackson?
I don't remember him sounding this much like a New Jersey kind of guy.
Hey, I'm just a down old guy.
Here's a clip of him talking from a few years ago.
I'm the regular...
My name's Jackson Hinkle. I'm an organizer. I'm an environmentalist. I'm actually the youth director at Choose, and I'm 19 years old, and I'm running for San Clemente City Council.
Oh, God.
A little different.
Oh, God.
A little bit of a different voice.
Oh, boy.
I think it's pretty obvious that he's doing a Trump guy impression.
Yeah.
There's a real, Trump kind of voice lilt that he's doing. It's so transparent.
Yeah. He's found the niche that we haven't seen for quite some time.
Mm.
The labor organizer who is against slavery only because it's fucking with labor. Mm. Otherwise, hey, no slaves here. I mean, slaves are fine, just not here because we got unions. Mm-hmm. You know, oppress black people all you want. No big deal. Unions are important for whites,
right.
You know, like that's what he's doing.
It's
been a while since we've seen
that. There are elements of it, and then there's also elements of what we. You remember how like Hitler?
He's sure, I've
focused
heard
on the,
I remember Hitler.
The workers part of the Socialist Workers Party.
I don't recall
he focused on that early.
Oh,
until
yeah?
he didn't.
Right.
Because that wasn't like, really that important
to him. It seemed like it got replaced by something that he was a little bit more interested in.
Not to say that necessarily Jackson's a Nazi or anything like that.
Sure.
But there is that that vibe.
It's not hard. It's not hard whenever a aristocracy plunders the working class for somebody to then convince the working class to get rid of the aristocracy, but that person was actually already part of the aristocracy and just creates a new aristocracy.
But what if they put on a voice?
Ooh, I like that. Now I'm listening again. Popularity contest winner!
I just think this is so craven.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you could. I wish as a society we had one win, like with a Jackson Hinkle, where somebody calls, "Oh, I'm a MAGA communist," and society as a whole wins together and just goes, "No," and he goes away.
Yeah,
like wouldn't we want one good win?
The attention economy doesn't work like that.
It just
even
doesn't.
If everybody dunked on him, that would only get him more traffic on social media.
It's too much.
Yeah,
it's the algorithm. The algorithm has defeated us as a society. We don't need to worry about AI. We need to worry about the fact that algorithms run what we see.
You know, my favorite lounge singer was Algorithm. So this next clip. This next clip.
Yep.
Alex asks what I would describe as a bizarre question about communism.
All right.
All right. Well, I've read Marx. I've, you know, read Engels. I mean, I've read Das Kapital. And you look at Klaus Schwab. He says he's going to bring Marxist-Leninism through.
Nope.
But with ultra-rich stakeholders in control.
Nope.
Are you
That's not even close to how that works.
Have a collectivist view on the top, and then it's actually distributed down to the people, but then... How would that actually be done? I mean, I get now we have
amazing
a crony capitalist fascist model that's discrediting Americanism. So, I mean, it's great. You
Describe
call it communism.
Americanism.
The U.S. government paid settlers for 100-something years to go west and gave them, quote, free land, but they had to fight for it and keep it and, you know, produce it. I wouldn't call that communism, but a very interesting idea if you had, like, some computer, but who programs it? To then, you know, distribute it down, but then how do you distribute it to the people that are actually going to produce with it? Where does the free market operate in that plan?
Well,
where does the free market operate in communism, Dan?
I don't understand the question because there's a long preamble and it went a lot of places.
Okay.
I don't
What don't you understand?
The computer.
Okay, so if there was a computer that could allocate things, but who programs the computer?
Who watches the watch computer?
That's literally what he's saying.
Alex hasn't read Capital.
No.
Second.
Where does the free market fit in with communism, Dan?
Well, no, but that is a fair question for him to ask because he's talking about a MAGA communism. So that is like...
That's a fair point.
That kernel of it is okay for Alex to be asking. It's not incoherent for him to be asking.
Sure.
The rest of it, the preamble... I don't know what's going on.
I think
I couldn't answer that question because I couldn't track it.
I believe his question is, in the model you are describing, how do we distribute things equally? Is that something
No, because he wants to know where the free market comes into
You're saying that there's a collective group at the top that distributes things among people, but where does the free market fit into it if things are distributed and not purchased?
I understand that, and you could ask that a lot better.
I agree with you.
Also,
considering I didn't do a good job of asking it, and I barely understood.
Also, I want to be clear about like Klaus Schwab.
Yeah,
and Alex does not understand what stakeholders mean in stakeholder capitalism. The thing that Alex is talking about, where only the rich people matter, is actually what we have now in the form of shareholder capitalism.
Yes,
Klaus Schwab is proposing this different idea, which is stakeholder capitalism, which involves you and me being stakes and having clean air.
Sure,
for example,
we don't have shares in air cleanery,
right?
But
or the companies that pollute the air.
We do have stakes in the air.
Exactly. Alex likes the current system where the rich people are all. In control of everything, which is why he demonizes any attempt at promoting or discussing something different.
Right.
Which is what's going on with Klaus Schwab.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how
So where's the debate beginning? Isn't this supposed to be
where's
a debate?
Where's the free market in this?
It's another good question.
It's not a debate.
Okay.
It's a confusing conversation.
All right, because I am confused.
Yeah. So I believe this is the answer to the question of the computer trickle-down, where does the free market
Computer trickle-down, communism, free market economics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've drawn up a really good point before in that the world is run by Trotskyists. And people kind of shrug when they hear that. They say, really? The
Stop
world
just
is
saying
controlled
words.
By communists? Well, kind of. They're controlled by Trotskyists, as you put it. And these are the most evil, sick human beings on the face of the planet. It's the Clintonites. It's the Bushites. It's the World Economic Forum. It's Klaus Schwab. It's everyone who stands opposed to the American working class.
Oh, let me interrupt. I'm going to shut up. We can have you back for 5 hours soon. But you're dead on. The modern leftist movement and the modern neocon movement hails to Trotsky. That is a fact. And Trotsky did not have the regular communist model. He had another model. So you're actually, that's true. So I'm impressed that these aren't just statements you're making. It's actually based in reality.
Exactly. What?
Exactly. So it's probably worth noting that it's very common for anti-Semitism around communism to be packaged as attacks on Trotsky.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a code that Jackson's using, and I find it interesting that Alex doesn't get into the differences between normal communism and Trotsky's version. There are definitely differences between Marx and Lenin's ideas of communism and Trotsky's, but I have zero faith that Alex could describe any of it. He doesn't know any of this shit. He's in so far over his head, he has no idea what the fuck is happening.
I wish that... So, here's my pitch, mm-hmm. All right? Scripps, spelling bee. Okay, you know the guy who does the definitions?
Yeah.
All right, so in this case... If you throw out something like what Jackson said,
right, Trotskyists,
yeah, then you should have to have ask for a definition, then you should have to spell it, and if you are wrong on either of those two things, think, and then you're done.
You got to go
to the comfort room.
I have to assume that Jackson knows what he's talking about, at least term wise.
I disagree.
I think that the point he's making is it doesn't make a lot of sense, doesn't have a lot of meaning,
right?
But I think he does know the differences between different groups of communists and different ideas. He's done enough streams and conversations and debates that I have faith that he knows the differences.
See, that's what's interesting to me, because that only makes me believe he has no idea what he's talking about more.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that this conversation with Alex is going to be able to prove it either way.
That is a good point.
Because Alex doesn't know shit, and Jackson knows that. Well, he knows that much.
Yeah. I mean, you can't sharpen your sword on a limp noodle.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I think that he knows Alex well enough to know that he has this whole thing about Trotskyites and, all the neocons were secret Trotskyites and all this. So I think he knows that he can make this pretty solid appeal there.
All right.
And find their common ground.
Okay.
So he goes from talking about Trotsky, and then he pivots into a very dangerous bit of water.
Okay.
So I'm impressed that these aren't just statements you're making. It's actually based in reality.
God, exactly. We might have, not everyone's going to agree 100% of the time, but we agree on that. We know who our enemy is. And what I think is so incredible about what China's done, China's been able to mobilize their economy for the public good, but also increase production and the scale of manufacturing. In America, we have a degrowth ideology that reigns supreme.
Sure, but let's talk about, I'm going to stop interrupting, but define a Trotskyite versus what you're saying, a Xi Jinping model.
If Alex understood anything about communism and the subjects he talks about, which actually make up the bedrock of his empty philosophy, he should not have to ask that question. It's painfully obvious the difference, or at least a major one, is that Trotsky favored a permanent revolution model of communism that was much more democratically focused, whereas China's model is far closer to that of Stalin, largely dictatorial in nature. Trotsky was a real critic of Stalin, who had him murdered after he was exiled from the USSR, incidentally.
I didn't know, because he wasn't in any of those pictures.
Right.
I didn't even know that the guy was there, because he wasn't in any of the pictures, Dan.
Yeah.
Never saw him.
So, I mean, that's a real fundamental and pretty real conflict between the idea of someone who had Trotskyite ideas and someone who was more into the China model of communism.
Sure.
You could definitely say that is a concrete difference. That's a great way to answer this question.
Sure.
Here's how Jackson does it.
Okay.
Well, the Trotskyites, as you just put it, they want a feudal society where a few people control all of the resources and all of the wealth. What we need is I don't want to be China. I'm a Christian. I don't know if you're a Christian, but I value Christian values. And we need to recognize that our Constitution must reign supreme. We need to bring back free speech right now because the Trotskyists have destroyed free speech by taking over big tech. But what China's been able to do is they're lifting people out of poverty. 840 million people in the past 40 years, they've lifted out of poverty.
So if you don't like Trotsky, are you saying you're more of a Stalinist?
100%. I'm an American Stalinist. 100%. Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Keep going. His answer is just InfoWars shit. This is just Alex insisting all of the GOP people he doesn't like are Trotskyites because Bill Kristol's dad liked Trotsky. This just isn't meaningful analysis at all, and it doesn't have anything to do with legitimate actual differences between what Trotsky believed and the form of government that exists in China, which is supposedly the question he's supposed to be answering. It's not difficult to tell what the most glaring difference is, but Jackson likes China, so he can't say the difference without losing Alex entirely because he does not want a democratic system, necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, none of them do. I'm just.
But Alex's brand can't exist without Democratic Republic stuff.
Yeah, with all that.
Whereas Jackson's brand is far more fine with authoritarian dictatorship.
Nah, they all are. Yeah, they all are.
You can say that, but not not all of their brands.
I think half the time most of us are, just because. And I think part of what it is you can hear it in the way that Jackson's describing it. You know, that idea of, oh, well, what reigns supreme right now is this, and what should reign supreme is the Constitution. And the real issue that people are dealing with is that nothing reigns supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Everything is fucking chaos. The justice system can be used this way or that way. The president can say this or not this. Congress doesn't even do anything. There's people who are fucking insane running everything. Nothing reigns supreme. And so I think people would like something to... just something. Mm. Just anything reigns supreme. A god, fine. If a god is a piece of shit, at least somebody's doing something. Uh-huh. You know? And so I get where he's coming from. With this idea of a dictator needs to reign and all that stuff. It's just real dumb. It's just real dumb.
You got real into that answer.
I'm so
mad. You got pretty heated there.
Oh, I just hate it whenever people are like, ah, here's what runs stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking nothing.
It's like you were mad at me, but I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything. It's Jackson's fault.
Okay. Well, Alex has a different response.
And also Ace Ventura's fault.
Sure. So Alex has a different response to Jackson, and that seems to be that he's bemused by him a little bit.
Okay.
For now.
That's why I love MAGA, because, again, Trump, he might not get everything right, but what the MAGA movement stands for is taking back the means of the production for the working class.
Well, yeah, the globalists are about taking control of production from the people to control us.
Sure.
But communism never really delivers. I mean, China's still centrally planned. How are you saying it's taking the means of production away from the elite?
Well, China is governed by the Communist Party, which has many different factions within it. They even have Jeffersonian Democrats in the Communist Party of China. But at the end of the day, Xi Jinping answers to the people of his nation. And if he failed to do that, he'd be kicked out of power. China is, they're a planned economy. That's why they're so successful. But America is a planned economy as well. And what people need to understand is a planned economy isn't a bad thing. The only thing that's bad about a planned economy is when you have it like in the United States or the EU or the UK, where they plan it for a handful of rich oligarchs to amass untold amounts of wealth while they, you know, censor and condemn the masses for not following their stated gender policies or,
Mr. Henkel, you're definitely right. The state planning of BlackRock is to make us all poor and literally euthanize us. So, but just because BlackRock is this globalist fascist thing, then look at, oh, the other choice is Stalinism.
What the other choice or so? I mean, like, if you have an idea, you should, we could put it forward and talk about it. But I think that, really, people need to grow some balls and understand communism is the only answer for America right now. Okay. Lenin said he was inspired by the American Revolution and that's how he led his revolution. And I think we have a lot to learn from Stalin and from Xi Jinping. And, even what Putin is doing today, I know he's not a communist, but he grew up in a communist era. He was a part of the intelligence community, the KGB, and he carries that with him throughout his life today.
Let us shift gears to geopolitics. Very interesting is all I can say.
Very interesting. Mm. This is, Alex is in too deep.
Yeah.
He should be the master of shutting this down.
You'd think.
This is a perfect opportunity for him to have an adversarial interview with somebody who's like, okay, you believe in a lot of the same stuff I do. The importance of white people, Christians, and men
in
society. You don't like this gender ideology.
Yeah.
You're so great on that stuff, but you're so wrong about communism. This would be the perfect opportunity for him, but he can't really do it because he doesn't really know much other than communist bad.
See, you said that we wouldn't get to the bottom of it on this episode, but I feel like Jackson has just proven that he does not understand the meaning of the words that he is saying.
Interesting.
He understands the reaction that they get,
mm-hmm.
but not like the meaning of the, like, you can't just say like return the means of the worker. Stop it. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
MAGA is all about that. That's what MAGA is all about.
Ugh. It's all about telling people what to do.
No.
It's all about
workers' rights for the MAGA working class.
It's so annoying that all of this comes down to when I tell people to do something, they don't do it, so I need a government to kill them for me.
Mm-hmm. Or when I'm told that I should be respectful of other people, I get mad about it.
So I need a government to kill them for me.
So,
Jesus.
Alex and Jackson don't see eye to eye on the matter of Israel vis-a-vis its existence.
No.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because Jackson doesn't think it should exist.
Well, that's fair.
And then they squabble a little bit about nukes.
Sure.
How do you expect, because you've been a big critic of Israel, definitely Israel's walked into a trap or knows they are. The West, the U.S. is funding this. Where do you see this attempt, or do you see it as an attempt to trigger a holy war?
I think that it's not so much an attempt to trigger a holy war. I think you can look at the geopolitical dimensions of this and recognize that the Arab states are worried about, economic interests on their end. They're worried about losing the normalization of Israeli ties. And when it comes to the Palestinians and Hamas, they just want Israel to be gone. And personally, I think if the U.S. stopped funding Israel, which I think we should, I don't think we should give a single penny to Israel, Israel would cease to exist. If they didn't have the military backing of the United States and the taxpayer dollars flowing to the tune of billions of dollars, Israel would cease to exist.
Jackson, let me say this. I don't agree with that statement. Israel has over 1,000 nuclear weapons, fighter bombers, bombers, and nuclear equipped submarines, and they have the third largest IT facility in the world, and they got a bunch of smart people over there. If someone tries to make Israel not exist, they're going to take us to nuclear war. Just like Russia, whether you love Russia or hate it, we can't keep doing this with Russia.
It.
They've got the biggest nuclear force. So I'm just saying, Israel will cease to exist. Why are you saying that?
Well, I think you have to understand that Israel as a state truly only exists not because of the nukes that it holds. I think they're too cowardly to use nukes. But I think you also have to recognize that since
the
flood began,
Zionists aren't ready to use nuclear. You think Jews aren't ready to go to war and do
what is happening?
I would like to say it's very dangerous that Israel has nuclear weapons. I would see them as one of the
first groups
for the Iranians to use it. They're completely in war mode, foaming at the mouth. And I'm not attacking them. I mean, are you kidding me?
I think that if you look at Israel's military, they're an extremely casualty-averse military. And you have to understand that for a population that truly doesn't have any ties to the land, they're already fleeing in record numbers since October 7th. I mean, you've had a huge portion of the population.
Yeah, but that's just the wimps leaving.
Whoa!
To Russia, they've lost hundreds of thousands of troops. They got flesh in the game, skin in the game. But keep going.
Keep going.
This has been an exercise in watching fireworks.
It is.
It's... What in God's name are these two idiots talking about so authoritatively?
Very.
So fucking authoritatively they know
Israel
the thing
doesn't
they
have
did.
The stones.
What are you fucking I think it's very cowardly not to use nuclear weapons. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they don't have the grapes.
You're all insane if any of that makes sense to you.
I mean, it makes sense to me on a sentence level.
Well,
you know, like,
sure.
Like,
on
the
how,
words.
Right.
The words track into sentences.
I suppose.
Unlike Alex's question about the computer.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's
what?
But it's like two really bad perspectives coming up against each other, but the bad perspectives are also counter to each other.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a dissonance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's fucking insane to hear people talk like that and not be like, and like, if you people talk like that, the camera should pan out and they should be enclosed in a small room together, surrounded by Magneto's prison. That's not metal.
You have this like agitation that comes from hearing this clip, whereas I have kind of like the opposite. I have like a I don't feel like responding to either of you. I feel like you both suck. I'll let you two argue.
I mean,
I'm not interested in this argument about whether or not Israel has the bravery to nuke people.
I get it, but it's just like, this is a conversation that makes me wish I had access to the Phantom Zone.
Sure.
And I could just be like, ah-ha.
Zod these
fools.
There
you go. Away we go.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, obviously, I think that there's some troubling perspectives in there too, Jackson particularly.
Sure.
Alex should probably be more counter to the he doesn't think that Israel should exist.
Yeah.
I think he should probably have some problem with him saying that the Israelis have no tie to the land.
You'd think.
I think that should be really offensive.
I think a lot of people would find it that.
I think a lot of people would, and even Alex should.
Yeah.
Based on his beliefs. But yeah, nukes. Anyway, this is not the only military thing that they do not agree on. And I wrote in my notes, Alex is going to flip his shit.
Oh yeah?
How do you see Ukraine ending? Do you think China moves into Taiwan?
I'd love it if China moved into Taiwan, but I think Ukraine is going to end however Putin wants it to end. I mean, I've said that since February 24th, 2022. There's no way Ukraine has any chance of winning this. They've lost probably 4 or 5 times more men than Russia has.
All right, leaving Ukraine and Russia to the side, because Alex is probably on the same page as him.
Sure.
Alex should throw something at him when he said that China should go into Taiwan.
That's one of the crazier things I've ever heard.
Alex, that's one of his big red lines.
You just don't do it.
That's a sign of the end of the world. Is China taking Taiwan?
It's one of the weirdest geopolitical things that is currently going on. And for anything to change the status quo on that one might destroy all of us.
And Alex is never more clear about anything other than that is absolutely no.
Yeah.
This is where it should be, like, it should be an adversarial interview from the MAGA communist word go.
Yeah.
And then when Jackson is saying, I like Xi Jinping, Alex should be like, hold on now.
Sure.
We're going to fight.
Right.
And then when he says, I think China should take Taiwan, it should be like, you fucking piece of shit. Like, Alex, the way he responds to other people that he firmly disagrees with.
Sure.
But it doesn't turn into that, really.
No.
Which is strange, but I think it's explained by the thing that Alex keeps bringing up, and that is that Jackson is super viral.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of juice that Alex could suck off, so maybe he doesn't have to quit.
Right. I mean, I think there's also a certain amount of just, like, the idea behind Hinkle's success is get people off balance before they start. You know, trip them. Trip people. Mm-hmm. Don't fight fair. Trip people, sweep the leg, you know, like that's the idea. And so what is it that you are going to, what battleground you're going to face him on will always change.
It's procedurally generated.
Yeah, more so even than Alex is, because he's got more different stupid places to go.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson can be like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go into Taiwan. Alex can't do that shit.
Nope.
So Alex is already confused because he's like, I think I kind of agree with, maybe? Yeah, we should Russia kill people. Hooray! Mm-hmm. But then he can't react in the same way that he would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the strategy of the brand.
Yeah, it's very annoying. And again, everybody on this planet in society should have looked at it and gone, not today.
I think a lot of people did.
Mm.
It just didn't work.
Not enough.
So Alex, instead of turning this into a very hostile interview, as he should.
Which would be fun.
He decides to go the subtle route.
Which is a bad idea for him.
And suggest that Jackson is on the Chinese payroll.
Okay, I like that.
You know, the big criticism of Elon Musk, who's doing a lot of good stuff now, is that he won't criticize China. And people always accuse me of being on somebody's payroll. My listeners pay me, and I say what I say, and they support me. But, man, if I sit back and, like, people say, you're a smart guy, good-looking guy, you know, everything else, and people would say, like, well, who does this guy work for? Like, I mean, have you been to China? Or, I mean, you say you want Taiwan to get invaded? South China Sea, that means we go to war with them? I mean,
There won't be a war. I mean, I've talked to Colonel Douglas McGregor, who was Trump's senior Pentagon
advisor. What the fuck are you talking about?
And he painted the picture very clear for me. He said, you know, if China invades Taiwan and they don't try to do this through peaceful reunification, there's nothing that Taiwan or any of its proxies, including, you know, the U.S., which controls the Taiwanese government, can do. I mean, what, we're going to send a few of our Navy ships over there and then they're going
to. So why would you love to see Taiwan invaded?
Well, historically, I mean, Taiwan is China. I mean, that's how the U.S. government categorizes Taiwan at the very moment. I mean,
so wait, you support the U.S. government? That's you're falling back on that. The government sees it as part of China, so it is.
If you are
silly man,
if you're going to say historically, comma, it's part of China.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then you have established that historically, comma, blank is part of blank is now an acceptable response within any parameters.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
So
you
also,
just said it was.
Also, I love, you just got to feel Alex's like blood boiling when he brings up a general and actually says his name. Alex is like, you do not fucking cite generals on my show.
Oh, my God.
I cite generals. I never name them because they're not real.
They're not real. Ugh, hate these people for being stupid.
Yeah. So anyway, Alex is trying to suggest that he's on the payroll.
Well, he is, obviously.
Nah.
China, what do they have? Like, what would happen? They have, like, police centers and universities and the like to, like, keep an eye on their own citizens, even if they're in a completely different country. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any evidence that he's on a Chinese payroll.
Oh, that's fair.
I think that it's probably just a cool way to cloud chase on social media.
I think you're right.
Create a brand out of this.
It works
well without having to be on a payroll.
It's so cool to be a psychopath that wants the end of the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, it won't happen, according to General.
Oh, my God.
Whatever his
no
name
generals.
Was. No.
They're idiots, too.
So I think Alex is starting to, he starts to get mad.
Uh-huh.
Or at least a little annoyed.
Okay.
I'm against world government, the new world order, and corporate governance.
Are you?
And BlackRock is mainly allied with communist China. And so if the United States disengages internationally, it allows the CHICOMs and others to now control this international umbrella that's transferred our money into it. So I don't want to get rid of world government. I want to get rid of corporate governance and stakeholder capitalism and bring back free market, laissez-faire, Teddy Roosevelt type ideas.
Mm.
But
I
go ahead.
I think that, you know, we all know the media lies. And if we know they lie about current events and what's going on right before our very eyes, we can all assume that they've lied 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more about history. Okay.
Are you lying about that?
You have people claiming that George Soros is somehow allied with communist China when he himself has stated that China's the greatest threat to his own society.
He says Xi Jinping is the new Hitler. But he loved Xi Jinping until 3 years ago.
Mm.
I'm not aware of that. I just know that a couple years ago he put out.
Yeah, no, I got videos of him saying China and Xi Jinping's the model. Mm. Bill Xi Jinping double crossed him. So I was trying to explain to you. And Jackson, I can tell you're a smart guy, so I'm not talking down to you, but just don't talk down to us. Just because America's run by scum doesn't mean China is good or Russia is good. I mean, you obviously can grasp that, right?
This is so similar in tone and theme to the Kanye interview.
Yeah.
This is a, hey, there's a game being played
here.
You're
not playing ball.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a game, and you're outside it. And you're very clearly talking about me.
Yeah.
When you're saying people say that George Soros is aligned with
China. That is me. I am the people who say that. I am all of the people who say that. All the people who say that because I am the people who say
now,
that.
Now, I had a clip of him saying this years ago, and he's got double-crossed. And so now I have evolved the narrative.
Yeah.
You understand me? My storyline is different now.
Get on the story train, my man.
Ugh.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I would be annoyed, too.
I'm very annoyed.
Yeah.
Hinkle is a very annoying person.
He's not pleasant.
Mm-mm.
But, again, that's part of the brand. You know, you agitate people, you annoy them, and it makes them post hateful things about you, and that drives more attention to you, and, you know, it's...
Yeah.
You know, no bad press is actually now no bad press, you know?
Oh, no, bad press is the best thing that you could have.
It used to be that statement wasn't really true.
It was kind of ironically presented as though, like, haha, you did want to be famous, and now this is what you get to go along with it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, haha, we have defeated you, concept of irony. Humanity won, irony zero.
So Jackson brings up Alexander Dugan. And Alex, of course, famously... got an award from him after the 2016 election where Dugan called him the greatest American man.
Doesn't
and
get
then
greater.
Alex cried on Russian TV.
How's Hinkle doing?
I think he read one of his books.
Okay.
And he likes Dugan because he loves Russia. He is a big Russia guy.
So weird.
Jackson Hinkle loves the Putin.
I just don't understand loving any country for any reason.
Mm-mm-mm.
It just doesn't make any sense
to
me.
Loves it.
You're insane.
He does.
It's all pretend.
He loves it.
Oh my God.
Anyway, this doesn't go great.
Okay.
Bringing up the Dugan.
All right.
Alexander Dugan talks about the Great Awakening versus the Great Reset.
Alexander Dugan.
Right,
you and I both did the exact same
asshole thing.
We both did the exact same thing. I'm not going to let him off the hook for that,
this
Dugan.
Fucking
not a chance.
Fake accented prick. All right, let's start from the top.
Okay, we can start. Yeah. Okay.
Alexander Dugan talks about the Great Awakening versus the Great Reset. And it's clear that there is a Great Awakening happening in a lot of these right populist movements inside of Europe. I just pray that they're successful and they can take it to the end of the, the touchdown line, the finish line.
Sure,
and
well, I'm not trying to attack you, Jackson Hinkle, but I've interviewed Dugan and I've been on other shows with him. And you said earlier, you don't know I'm a Christian, but you're a listener. I am a extreme Christian. I'm a follower of Christ.
Well, I meant to say Orthodox Christian. I'm an Orthodox Christian. Right. I don't know if you're an Orthodox Christian.
Well, I'm just
Orthodox
saying
what?
Belongs to the West. Dugan does not like the Atlantean model. I'm not an Atlantis, an Atlantean, but I also think the West has things to offer. I don't actually want war with Russia. Dugan believes there's going to be a war between sea powers and the land power, and that Russia will come out on top.
What about
I actually don't
power?
Want to have a supremacist view. I actually want to work with Russia. So you're here saying you want to unify all this, but you're mentioning intellectual leaders of this stuff. I'm actually bringing you up what they're saying. So do you think Russia's going to win the war against America? Because I don't stand for that. I stand for America and Russia working together.
Well, I mean, I've read a lot of Dugan's works, and especially his most recent works. He talks about how Trump is an inspiring figure. And how Trump should work to rebuild America. And he loves Trump and he loves the American people. So I don't know what you're referring to with that. But I think that Dugan is really interesting for a number of reasons. I mean, sure, he might theorize that Russia is going to defeat the United States. But, I mean, can you disagree when you look at Joe Biden and what this country's doing?
He just blew his daughter up and killed her. So the CIA definitely doesn't like him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Dugan's a bad guy. He's a patriot for his country and... I think he's very intellectually honest, and I think overall, he's
of all the things,
man.
That's what you think.
I'm a nationalist, but I'm not a globalist, and I'm not an internationalist. But at the same time, I'm just tired of conflict with all these countries. And all I was bringing up is that he believes that Russia's in an existential struggle, and that America will be defeated. Well, America's already being defeated by globalists that have conquered us. So I don't think America is the globalist. I want to rid ourselves of them.
I agree with you.
Oh, they found agreement. I find this a little silly.
I find it all very silly.
Yeah. I honestly just think that Alex is maybe pissed that Dugan is using the exact same branding as he is, as evidenced in this next clip.
If you read, in his book, The Great Awakening versus The Great Reset, he talks about... these inspiring populist movements that is the true Great Awakening that wants to rid our countries of this deep state globalist cabal. Like
I didn't even
United
know.
States.
I follow him some. I didn't even know he had a book called The Great Awakening. My new book is called The Great Awakening.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know, because you all are on creative hacks.
Yeah, you're all a bunch of shitbags.
How many fucking books are called The Great Reset? That was Alex's last book. Now, apparently, everyone's writing a book called The Great Awakening, because that's where the grift is. That's where the scam has gone. That's where the attention is at. We're now looking for answers.
Here's why I go back to Jackson and Alex both have no idea what they're fucking talking about, mm-hmm. despite being on so many debates or whatever it is. It's like, whenever you're in a conversation like this, especially between idiots like these, is when you're throwing around words like, I'm a nationalist, I'm a not this, I'm a this, I'm a not this, you're not actually saying anything.
True.
You're giving the other person the opportunity to fill in the blank of what you what they think you mean when you say that word.
That is true.
In the same way that when Hinkle says I'm the Trotskyites or Leninist or communist or Marxist, it has nothing to do with the specifics of any of those, mm-hmm. and everything to do with the person you're talking to filling in where they think that you're going.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is fucking stupid.
I think we both reached that conclusion through slightly different routes. But yes, this is very dumb.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know, there's a vapidity to it. Is that the right word?
Yeah, vapidity is a great word.
Okay.
Well, you should use it more often. I should use it more often.
So we have one last clip here.
Okay.
And I did not watch the video,
uh-huh.
but I imagine what you're about to hear is Alex almost doing a spit take.
Okay.
Now
I'm in.
I've not heard this kind of a response necessarily from him.
I think there's a lot of people in the media and well-meaning people, also just average people who have been lied to about what communism is, because it is the greatest threat to the deep state, and that's why they've lied about it for 100+ years.
Hold on, let's do 60 seconds.
Hold on, kid.
Hold on. Let's see what this kid has to say. Get over here. That is the most, like, wow.
Communism is the greatest threat to the deep state.
That is the most. I remember being like 8 and going to see my grandfather at a bar. Because that was the time when you could just do that. You could just walk in. And I remember my grandfather just being like, hey, come over here and say that stupid thing you said in front of my friends. That is exactly that sound.
Hold on, you got to say that again.
Yeah.
This is also a very clear instance of Jackson talking about Alex.
Yeah.
To Alex's face.
Yeah.
And Alex does not understand that.
Well,
a lot of people don't understand what communism is and have lied about or been lied to. Well-meaning people. Alex, you're not bad for this.
Yeah.
And Alex does not appreciate that. But at the same time, he has enough social media clout and shit that Alex is willing to have this kind of pretend repartee with him, and he invites him back to have we'll do one of these commercial free Saturday shows.
Yeah,
you know, get real into it. And I mean, if they do that, I'd be interested in them actually talking about, you know, maybe a little bit more depth to some of this. But the response he should have is violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex
100%.
Responds so much more aggressively and violently to people who agree or disagree much less than this. This is an affront to Alex.
Yes.
What Jackson is bringing to the table.
Agreed.
And there are multiple instances that we've seen where he's clearly talking about Alex to Alex.
Yeah. Which would be fun.
Sure. But
no argument.
But insulting.
Well, yes. That's why it would be fun.
Yeah. And Alex cannot get over, I don't know, the star aspect of it or whatever, the clout power or whatever, because he's not bringing himself to be like, get the fuck out of here, kid. You're a 23-year-old jack-off. I don't give a fuck about what you say. When I started InfoWars, you weren't born, punk. Do you understand? I talk to G. Edward Griffin before he was a graybeard.
Right.
Do you understand me?
I will say
my
this.
My dad was in the John Birch Society, and was one of the smartest boys in Texas, and the globalists have tried to recruit him multiple times.
Sure.
I was destined from birth by God to fight the devil. Fuck you, you little prick.
Right. But that's like the ultimate sales trick, though. Like, once you, if you start off balance, and then all of those things that a person is normally capable of doing, mm-hmm. they're just always tiptoeing. They're always trying to get balance. It's like, wait, you just said something that I completely don't agree with, but I guess keep talking. You know?
That's the ultimate sales trick?
It's a sales tactic. It is 100% a sales tactic to just like start off on, now we're on my ground, you know?
The ultimate sales trick the devil ever pulled was convincing you there wasn't a 30% off sale on Super Bowl Vitality.
You know what? Actually, I'm not gonna tell you the truth.
What?
The MSRP, it's actually lower than 30% off. Yeah, that's right. He's losing money off of this.
I don't know. I think I was interested in seeing what this exchange was gonna be like, and I was a little bit let down.
Yeah. as is our wont.
I thought there was a couple of moments of real interesting, bizarre, like this is happening is bizarre.
Yeah.
The fact that they're talking about this stuff is bizarre. And then just kind of just there's a feeling of punches being pulled, but I'm not sure they are.
Right.
You know, in a couple of sincere actors having a conversation coming from the positions that Alex and Jackson are, in order for it to end up like this, there would need to be punches pulled. Because otherwise they would have gone head on into this confrontation.
Sure.
That is inevitable between their two ideologies.
Right.
And instead, it was kind of blah. It was kind of fell flat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is when you, you know, like, ultimately, if you have two positions that you're, you know, two people unwilling to compromise on no matter what, then those positions must come into conflict. And then what results is what we've got left over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, it is like a revelation of how little you care about your position if you're standing next to somebody who is like, we must Highlander duel to the death, and you're like,
I think China should invade Taiwan.
Yeah, and you're like, well, I mean, but you like Russia? Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel, man. I don't understand you.
I think like Alex would throw someone out of the studio if they're like, actually, there are a lot of vaccines that are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Into the volcano you go, sacrifice.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's
but
not
he's
complicated.
Like, I think China should take Taiwan.
That's it. Yeah, you should
You're
be
an
done.
Interesting guy. You got some interesting ideas.
Ugh.
I think it really is just about, like, I know that you're in a scam environment. I know that's what you're doing, Jackson. I know this is a grift. But
listen up.
You have a lot of followers, and you get a lot of retweets and stuff, and I kind of would like a little bit of that gravity. So we're going to try and get you into the same game that I play in the same way that he's trying to massage Ye into the game. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. You know, it's the thing about the Sith taking an apprentice, right? The apprentice always tries to kill him.
Yeah.
Always. 100% of the time.
And
you'd think not a good job.
And that's something that I actually think I loathsomely respect about Jackson.
About the Sith?
Them too. No, but that Jackson, like, he has to know how desperate Alex is right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how much he needs someone to fill Owen's shoes.
Yeah.
He could easily have, like, ignored some of his actual positions, gone along, sucked up like crazy, and been hired that day at InfoWars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he wanted to, he could have done that and probably taken over the entire show.
I mean, just Alex having a... Well, I mean, think about it like this for Alex, as far as a business goes. For blah, 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 single talent business, also single idea business.
Mm-hmm.
No one has any ideas there. So to have a show that would have a different idea of perspective, like a different set of conspiracies, you know, like a different continuum.
I actually, you know what? Here's what's not really fair about that.
What?
I bet there's some stuff on band.video that's different than what Alex believes. There's enough, like,
sure,
ding-dong channels with, like, 100 views on their videos that
sure,
I'm sure there are some people who believe things that are polar opposite of Alex.
Yeah, I mean, but Alex probably believes that ants have some ideas that he doesn't agree with, too, and he doesn't care. You know, like, that kind of, the way he treats people who don't have a million views on stuff.
I wouldn't be so sure he's chill with ants.
That's a good point. That is a good point. No, I think if that would be a way for Alex to have two shows, is have somebody who is a MAGA communist.
He would lose his support from the audience by having him host one of the shows, I think. I think that having a communist on his network would...
I would take that bet.
At this point, yeah, fuck yeah.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why weren't you taking that bet?
Yeah, I mean, you're falling apart anyway.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's a great bet.
But see, that's the thing I'm saying about Jackson, is that, like, he could have done that and yet stuck to his his brand.
True.
And there is something to be said for that, in as much as, like, he's not compromising for the sake of very easily, you know, coming in and fucking with Alex's shit.
And that's why Alex should hire him.
You know what? I'm sold.
It's not going to happen.
Let's get the paperwork going.
It's too good an idea for it to happen.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see
if Jackson comes back for a nice little Saturday.
Oh, my God.
At some point.
I hope he hosts the fourth hour.
Oh, Yeah, good. Give him that Owen Benjamin slot. you know, we'll be back. Until then, though, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. These are the sounds of frustration.
What's the bit?
The sounds of frustration about not having a bit are the bit. Is the bit. Plural?
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.